rest of the story. Roger Johnson would never make his appointment now. He'd stayed in London too late in the evening, had misplaced his confidence in the English transit system, and now it was midnight. No more trains till morning. He had made part of the journey, but Pulbrook, his destination, was still 18 miles away, more miles than his legs could possibly carry him in time for the early morning meeting. Nevertheless, he must try, so Roger started running. And when he could no longer run, he began to walk. And when he could no longer walk, it was 3 a.m. And still many miles lay between Roger and his urgent business. Weary and aching, he looked around him. It appeared to be a little English village, although the smothering fog had obscured most of it, and the lights in the tiny windows he passed had been extinguished hours ago. Everything was gray and black and dead, except there was something out there in the gloom, something that shone somehow through the impenetrable atmosphere, something leaning against a fence a few yards away. It was a bicycle. Roger approached it. There was no lock, no chain, no owner apparent. Roger gripped the handlebars, and at once he was transported back in time. He was 12 years young again, a small boy in Minnesota who'd purchased his first bicycle for $8 down and 50 cents a week, only to have the cherished bike stolen even before he had completed the payments. It was not the first disappointment in Roger's life, nor would it be the last, but it would certainly be remembered among the most profound. And with considerable poignancy, it was recalled presently as Roger Johnson, now a grown man, for the sake of meeting his own responsibilities, was about to break an unknown little boy's heart. Roger salved his conscience with intentions of returning the bicycle quickly and apologizing profusely, even reimbursing the young owner substantially. He was only borrowing the bike, Roger told himself, as he pedaled off down the fog and shrouded road. But deep down inside, where only he could see, was the little boy Roger had been, sitting on a Minnesota curbstone, his face buried in his hands, sobbing over one of the great losses of his life. Well, Roger made it just in time for his appointment that morning. It was 1944. It was a crew meeting at the American Air Base in Pulbrook, England. And indeed, as Roger had anticipated, a mission had been scheduled. Departure within minutes of his arrival at the airfield, he and his men would soon be dropping hardware on Hitler from their flying fortress. And they did. The mission was accomplished with spectacular precision. The big B-17 was homeward bound before the trouble started. One of the crewmen scrambled up to navigator Roger Johnson and told him the alarming news that two of the bombs intended for the Nazis, two of the bombs were still aboard, were hung up in the racks in the bomb bay. As long as the plane remained aloft, there was no problem, but attempting a landing with those two big sticks of dynamite hanging under the belly in the flying fortress and her crew and the airfield would likely be blown from here to eternity. And I see that I have exhausted my allotted time. But you will hear the rest of the story tomorrow.